T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
It's time for MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run, the official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Host a local event and give kids in your community a chance to compete in the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 MLB World Series. Sign up for free at pitchhitrun.com.
It's Sal Capaccio.
Sal Capaccio. Sal Capaccio. Sal Capaccio. Sal Capaccio. Sal Capaccio. Sal Capaccio. Sal Capaccio.
On WGR.
It is Football Friday. In addition to talking about the Sabres' win last night, and if you have any Bills questions, comments, or opinions, now would be a really keen time to call. 803-0550 to join us, because Sal is with us on the West Shore Hotline. Of course, we'll be in Nashville on the sidelines Monday night for the broadcast here on WGR. And Sal's segment, as always, is The Case, brought to you by New York's only outlet liquor. When you need to stock up, it's the best place to buy a case. What's your outlet? Good morning, Sal. Happy Football Friday. Oh, Sal, maybe?
If he's not there, I've got a baseball question for you. And for Sal, maybe, too.
Hang on. Yeah, we're efforting. He's somewhere in limbo. He's in the universe floating around at this point. We have to just lock in his coordinates. It's like Star Trek, you know, when they did the transporter room.
You guys got me?
And sometimes you didn't lock in those guys right away. Yeah, we got you, Sal. How you doing?
Good. I'm good. Thanks.
Hey, you know, we have you on to talk football. But you went to the game last night, and not a big crowd, but, you know, at home, it sounded like it was loud. How was it? You were in the building.
Loved it. Didn't love seeing just, you know, the limited crowd. It was, what, maybe 8,000 people, I would guess?
They announced 86-47, I think it was, mid-round.
So there you go. But I'll tell you guys, I mean, from the jump, when they scored the first goal, from then on, good energy from the crowd. I mean, when you go into a game with that low of expectations, I guess you'd say, and go, hey, whatever happens, happens. And then you get that kind of effort and that kind of result. How can you not enjoy it? And I will tell you, after every period, the crowd gave a standing ovation for the effort.
Cool.
It was really appreciated. And people didn't leave, even though there weren't many people there. Everyone stayed till the final horn. And it was awesome. Max enjoyed himself. It was really good. I really enjoyed being in that building last night.
Speaking of being enjoying being in the building, what do you think Monday night will look like in terms of Bills fans? And I guess I'll ask it this way. You go to all these stadiums. Is there one that, I mean, would Nashville be the road game that has the most Bills fans? The only other place I was thinking of was Miami. Where is that place? What's Nashville like?
I would say, so they've played the Titans a couple of times on the road last few years.
Mm-hmm.
Last year I wasn't able to go because of the COVID situation. 2 years ago, I will tell you, I had never, ever seen that many Bills fans out and about in a city, in another city, ever. Like, it was just insane. And it will be like that again, probably, you know, all weekend in Nashville because it's a Monday night game. Sometimes, you know, you could maybe put Miami atop the list because there are so many Bills fans there. And I think part of the reason is Miami fans don't go to the game sometimes. You know what I mean? Like the crowd is so many Bills fans compared to Miami fans. Now, the difference in Nashville is they still have some fans. They still go to the games. Like, they're going to sell out the stadium, I guess. You know what I mean? But, man, there is still a ton of Bills fans in the crowd. You know, when Miami, last time I went to Miami, I remember thinking, okay, well, Miami's home opener. They beat New England. They're going to have a good crowd. You'll still get the same amount of Bills fans. You'll just get more Miami fans. It was maybe not the case.
Mm-hmm.
But Nashville, man, it's going to sound like a home game when Nashville has the ball.
Wow.
When the Titans have the ball.
All right.
Wasn't it 2 years ago Taylor Lewan was upset about it?
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. I mean, Nashville is kind of stuck with this, though. It is a destination city for any fan base. You know, Bills fans travel very well, but if the Packers ever go in there, the Steelers, I'd imagine that they get overrun an awful lot.
Yeah, actually, I did a couple of interviews with Nashville radio stations this week, and one of them said that. They said, we're used to it because people do like to come to the city, and they do like to have a good time. They, you know, make that their destination road game, just like a lot of Bills fans are going to do. So, yeah, they're used to it, but you'll notice it. It will be noticeable on TV. I wonder how much the Monday Night Crew is going to talk about it, because it'll be a difference. And if the Bills start to win, you know, and have a decent lead, then it just grows and grows, and the Bills fans don't leave. The other team's fans do, and Bills fans will come down, and you'll see it even more so.
Well, the weather's supposed to be nice. I know, obviously, you always check the weather forecast because you're out there in the elements. It's going to be sunny during the day and beautiful for kickoff at night. So you're in good shape for this one.
I cannot wait to finally have a good weather game. last week was obviously the delay. There was some rain on and off. The week before that, it was pouring in Buffalo. The week before that was rain and humid and then rain again or whatever in Miami. We had wind, I should say, the week before that in Washington, then the one before that in Miami. So Patrick Hammer's going to be on with me today on the Extra Point Show, and I'm fully expecting him to give me a very nice-looking forecast. I will tell you, though, the low on Monday night is supposed to be like mid-40s.
Yeah.
Now, I don't know if that means like really late Monday night, so I don't think we're going to get that. But, you know, it's still not very cold, but that gets a little chilly. So, you know, that'll be a little interesting.
803-0550, you got a Bills question, comment, opinion. We when Sal is with us on Football Friday, we always do the injury report, and it will not take 15 minutes for Sal to do the Bills list this week. It is brought to you by the Barnes Firm. Injured? Call 1-800-8-MILLION. A fairly quiet report, which is a good thing, of course.
Yeah, only one player who did not practice due to injury, and that is Tywan Jones, and I saw him on the stationary bike before practice yesterday during the media viewing portion. So who knows? Maybe he's back out there today. Remember, you get an extra day this week. The final status for all players does not come out until tomorrow on Saturday because they have a Monday night game. Good news to see Matt Milano limited early this week. And John Feliciano is on the report, but he was full yesterday, and Ryan Bates was also limited with an ankle. So you're right. Very clean report for the Bills, comparably, especially to last week.
Okay, now Tennessee, I didn't realize, I don't know what the number is now, but at least last week, they had 17 guys on injured reserve. They also have a fairly long injury report. They're banged up on the left side of their line. But it's funny, Sal, if you look at their injury report from yesterday, I think the more notable thing is who practiced fully, because there are three big names on that list. A.J. Brown and Julio Jones and Bud Dupree, so they might actually be getting healthier for this game.
I would expect them to play at this point if they're all full participants.
Yeah.
It seems like that's going to be the case. They did still have quite a few guys that did not practice yesterday. Caleb Farley among them, Christian Fulton. There's two corners, right? Yeah. I mean, these are guys that are important to them. And, you know, I know that there's concern about whether or not they'll be able to go. So we'll see. Roger Saffold, their guard, didn't practice with a shoulder injury. So they still have some guys banged up, but I would say the general tenor coming out of Tennessee is, hey, they're getting these big players back, these big names, so this is really good news because obviously these guys have been missing some time. So I think they're on the right track, it looks like. Again, you have to treat yesterday like a normal Wednesday, even though it's Thursday. So you never know. Maybe a bunch of these guys who aren't practicing and some were limited. There was a few more that were limited still for them, including Taylor Lewan. Then we'll see exactly, you know, where it goes today. Today will be the bigger day for that.
Yeah, we'll see how, you know, healthy Dupree is. But that was a big offseason move for them. You know, they needed to boost their pass rush, and he's been banged up and hasn't really been able to do much. Obviously, the Julio Jones trade was big, and they really, I don't know that they've been able to use A.J. Brown and Julio Jones at their fullest yet this season through five games.
And on that matchup, Sal, Julio Jones and A.J. Brown, if there is a way to beat this Bills defense, you know, we watch them take down the Chiefs, is it with two stud outside receivers? Because you've got Trey, and then you're looking to cornerback two, right? It's a little different than when we talk about, like, Hill and Kelsey.
Yeah, I'd say so, Jeremy. And I think at least giving you a really, really solid second option. And then, you know, because if you could say, like, it could be Hill and then Kelsey, you have a tight end of that level, right? But the Bills did a nice job. But I think you're right that, you know, if they can find matchups on somebody other than Trey White, you know, a cornerback, Let's remember how the Miami Dolphins did it a year ago. It was Mike Gesicki, right? It's, it doesn't have to be necessarily that receiver, but they split him out is what they did. And that's what they do with Kelce with Kansas City. So it could be a different guy. It doesn't have to be receiver specifically, but I think you're right. Put somebody in the outside, split him out. Get a guy that can actually be athletic and move around the formation. I think that might be it. And at this team especially because they have Derrick Henry, you know? Yeah. I mean, like, if you're going to do that, you know, somebody called yesterday and asked me, well, how do you defend those two guys? Do you put Tre'Davious White on one of them, Julio Jones or A.J. Brown? And I think it's tricky if you want to play man-to-man because once you turn your back, you know, here comes Derrick Henry. You know, you got to stop this guy. You got to be looking in the backfield. You got to be able to play the run. So I think that that's what makes their offense so dangerous is not only do they have these really good outside receivers, but suddenly here comes Derrick Henry on you too if you want to try and, you know, just make sure you take care of those guys. Well, they were really a stud running back. Now, interestingly enough, I looked last night since Derrick Henry – when Sean McDermott and Derrick Henry have matched up, or the three games they've played, basically McDermott coaching against them, you don't want to know what he's averaging per carry? Three games?
Is it like 3.8?
3.6. 3.6 yards a carry, Derrick Henry against the Bills under Sean McDermott. He has not had really good games. They've had a really good plan to slow him down. Now, that doesn't mean, and knock on wood, right? It doesn't mean that it's going to happen again on Monday night, but I think he's done a really nice job, and statistically he has done a nice job. Now, he had a couple touchdowns last year. It's a little different. Sometimes those yards per carry can be skewed based on, you know, usage in the red zone and things like that. For a guy that gets the ball as much as he does, you know, and has the numbers that he does, the Bills have had some really they've had a good game plan against him since they played him with Sean McDermott.
How much, Sal, in the last couple of years of facing Henry, did the defenders talk about the experience of attempting to tackle him and get hit by him? You know, we talk about Zach Moss wanting defenders to make business decisions, and Derrick Henry is very much similar to that, right?
You know, they're going to show the Josh Norman thing from last
year.
Yes,
they definitely are going to show that. You know, the defenders have to be, you know, you could look at the job they've done, the stats they've put up against him, and that's nice, but it's almost like you have to be mentally ready for this kind of challenge.
Oh my gosh, yes. So I already
and
have
of course
it in
physically
notes.
Ready too. Right, yeah.
Right. I already have it in my notes that when – by the way, Jeremy, you were right. It's 3.82. Good guess. I thought it was 6, but I went back and just looked. It's 3.82 is what he's averaged against the Bills. 50 carries for 191 yards is what he's had. So I already have it in my notes that when Sean McDermott comes on with me today, because I'll have him – by the way, programming note, he'll be on at 11:15 today because of the schedule this week. It's a little different. So he'll be on at 11:15 today, just so you know. I'm going to basically say, what do you do to prepare? How do you simulate that? Do you literally put like Tremaine Edmonds in the backfield and just have him run straight forward to get everybody used to tackling him?
You have him try to tackle the golf cart, you know?
I mean, what do you do, right? I know.
Well, I think it's an interesting idea because I asked Jeremy, Sal, and I'll ask you the same thing. If you're Leslie Frazier, and I know the answer is not, you know, ignore one to do the other, but if you're Leslie Frazier, what do you think in the concept of let's take away what they do best? Would you focus more on Henry, who does face stacked boxes, right? Would you focus more on Henry? Or if they have Brown and Jones playing on Sunday, are you more concerned about their passing game?
To me, you focus on Henry and you make them beat you through the air. They have not proven this year they can do that like they have been successful the last couple of years. Arthur Smith is gone, their offensive coordinator. He's now the head coach of the Atlanta Falcons. I think the Bills, and then you're also relying on, we have really good secondary players. Like, we'll take care of the back end. Let's just make sure we stop Derrick Henry. And the back end should take care of itself because I got Jordan Poyer, I got Micah Hyde. So to me, this is the opposite game plan of last week.
Yeah.
Last week's game plan was, hey, we're not going to let you throw on us. You want to try and run? We're still going to be pretty good at it because we really believe in our front four. We'll stop it. To me, it's this week, hey, you're not going to be able to run on us. You just want to throw? We still believe in our secondary because we have those guys back there.
We've been talking, I think, weekly about the impact of Star Lotulelei, him coming back, what it's been able to do for the defense. And the run defense has been very good. Obviously, this is the biggest test of the season, literally and figuratively, for the run defense. So what about having Star back specifically for this matchup against Henry Monday night?
Yeah, it's big, right? I mean, the run defense overall has been so much better this year compared to a year ago. Throughout most of the year, especially early in the season. And Star obviously is a big part of that. But what I find interesting is what we talked about yesterday, I think it was, which is how many defensive linemen are being used, rotating in and out. And I think they're all doing a really good job. But a guy like Starr this week, you know, eating up a couple of defenders, a couple of blockers maybe, I should say, you know, could really be a big deal. So, but this has been a really good, you know, team-oriented defense. It's been a team effort on defense. And I know that Sean McDermott says that. It's kind of a cliche a lot of times for a lot of coaches. He says it a lot, but it's true. You look around and all the different guys they're using. 1 week, Harrison Phillips is active, and then he's not for a couple weeks. And Vernon Butler, you know, and obviously Greg Rousseau and A.J. Epinesa being mixed in over there. You know, Ed Oliver, it just, they like to use so many of these guys. And, you know, having a healthy, if he is, Matt Milano will obviously help a lot in this game. We talked so much last week. Everybody was so worried, and A.J. Klein did a really good job. You know, but, I mean, Matt Milano's big in this game, too, if he can play. Because, you know, he's such a good athlete. You know, he finds ways to make sure he was leading the league, I think, in tackles for loss before last week, or tied for it. You know, that's a guy that you can make a play and get in. He's not afraid to stick his nose in there against any running back. So all of them, I think you really look at the entire front seven, if you will, and as much as Starr has helped, I think everybody's just playing really solid football right now.
What do you think of Ryan Tannehill?
I give him a lot of credit the last couple of years resurrecting his career. I really do. I give a lot of credit to Arthur Smith for helping him do that. I always thought he was a good athlete.
Yeah.
He can make some throws. You know, he did some nice things. Never thought he was really coached up enough in Miami to really make that. You know, he was a converted wide receiver when he went to college. He was a little bit raw at the position. He did some nice things, but never really a guy I thought that would be a true franchise quarterback. You know, maybe if he goes to a guy like Arthur Smith early in his career, maybe it's a different story for him. So, but right now, I mean, I don't know. And I'll, by the way, he's older than you think. How old is Ryan Tannehill now? Like 32, maybe?
I was going to say 31-ish. Yeah, maybe.
Right, I mean,
area, right?
Yeah, right. I mean, I don't know. He's not a guy. I still think you can win with him, especially if things around him are good. You know, certain schemes, a lot of play action they've used last couple years, they're not using it as much for some reason. That's one of the things that's happened out of Tennessee. They've talked about how a little less play action they've used, and that's kind of hurt him a little bit. But, you know, you give him some receivers in a running game, and, you know, suddenly, you know, his numbers start popping. And so what do I think about him? I don't hate him. I think you can win with him. But, you know, they gave him a lot of money a couple of years ago, and that's fine. But I don't think I think there's a ceiling there. And to me, he's not necessarily a championship caliber quarterback.
I think it'll be interesting, too. You know, we had a guest on from Tennessee earlier this week, and we were wondering, I think one of the key edges for the Bills Monday night would be their pass rush against an offensive line that has not been that good in terms of pass protection. The guy we had on had talked about some of this issue is also Tannehill's not getting the ball out quickly enough. Like, they want him to get the ball out faster. But, you referred to the injury report. The starting left tackle and the left guard are both banged up right now, Lawan and Saffold, and they've had some really bad games. The opener, I mean, Chandler Jones was living in the backfield. So I think, Sal, as much as we've talked about the pass rush and the depth and keeping guys fresh and all this, I think they could have some fun Monday night against that offensive line. They should be able to at least get multiple pressures and make life difficult for Ryan Tannehill Monday night.
Yeah, I just looked it up. He's 33, by the way.
33.
See, I mean, like, yeah, you know. I mean, he's a little older, and I think that a lot of people might even realize. So if I asked you guys who are the worst offensive lines in the league, I mean,
I guess
you might say Chicago or the Jets, right, would come to mind.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
They'd be right up there. Well, the Tennessee Titans, if you go sacks per pass attempt allowed, Chicago is number one by a lot, 14.75%, which is insane. And then it's Tennessee, and then it's the Jets. Hmm. So the Titans are actually worse in sacks per pass attempt allowed than the New York Jets offensive line. Tennessee is 11.5 per attempt percent, and the Jets are 10.5. They're the only three teams, Chicago, Tennessee, and the Jets, that are over 10% as far as allowing sacks on dropbacks.
Yeah. Look at you throwing out some nice numbers when you had no idea I was going to bring that up this morning. I got to tell you. Well done,
I do a little bit of research once in a while throughout the week. Not a lot, but the bare minimum sometimes, but just enough to impress you.
The last thing I want to ask you about is Dawson Knox, who also has been a really fascinating story through the first five games of the season. And I think you're beginning to see a little bit more said about him, for sure from fantasy football fans. But like Nick Shook had a was it Nick? Yeah, Nick Shook had a piece at NFL.com, most surprising players so far this season. Knox is on that list, not surprisingly. I'm not suggesting all of a sudden defensive coordinators will worry less about Diggs and Sanders, but do you think Knox will start drawing more attention?
Yes. And I think, to me, I would put Emmanuel Sanders in a little bit of that, wow, like he's really, he's having a better year than I thought. And I think it's a direct relation of teams maybe focusing on Diggs and Beasley. Beasley's targets are down. That's been a story last couple of weeks, right? I think teams know. He had an 11 catch game a few weeks ago. I think teams know, you know, that, and they're concentrating, especially on Diggs, but Beasley as well. I think that's opened up Emmanuel Sanders, and that's opened up Dawson Knox. Now, part of it, though, is the Bills are consciously using Dawson Knox more.
Right.
He's on the field a lot. He's creating mismatches. They're creating personnel mismatches that they could say, okay, well, we can block. He can go out and into a route. Like, there's a lot of different things they can use with him. So, you know, look at his usage. Look at how much he's on the field. This is the most he's ever been on the field, and it's really helping him, and it's helping, I think, the offense, you know, obviously the points per game and things like that. So, yeah, I think at some point, I don't know if it's like, you know, how long it'll last. At some point, you're going to see a team say, that's a bigger threat like than, you know, teams have been treating him. We're going to have to do something about that. And then that's when you might see Stephon Diggs' numbers go a little bit up again, or Cole Beasley's maybe, especially because he's in the slot. But, yeah, I think that'll happen.
All right, Mr. C. Well, we'll listen for you for the Extra Point Show today.
All right, buddy. I'll be in.
Thank you, Sal. Sal joining us by on the Western Hotline, I should say, and brought to you by New York's only outlet liquor. When you need to stock up, it's the best place to buy a case. What's your outlet? And reminder, as Sal mentioned when he was on with us, Sean McDermott, a little later than normal on the Friday version of the Extra Point Show. He will be on with Sal around 11:15 this morning, so stay tuned for that.
Did you have anybody going in last night's game?
Yeah, I actually had a couple things I had to deal with. What to do about Miles Sanders, and I had Mike Evans last night. We're going to have a little chat, Mr. Brady and I.
Yeah?
Yeah.
He does not throw to Mike Evans that much.
No, he did the previous game because Evans had two touchdowns. But by and large, he is not targeting Mike Evans enough in this offense. He's throwing a lot of balls to Antonio Brown. I'm not happy about it. We're going to have, me and TB12, we're going to have a little come to you-know-who meeting, I think.
And Sanders, you get enough touches for you?
No, I benched him. I benched him. I mean, that's why I'm looking. I mean, I got, between you and me, don't let this get back to the human fun players, okay, Jeremy?
Yeah.
I got kind of garbage running backs outside of Eckler. Sanders has been, it's not about him, right? They don't give him the ball. So he's underutilized. He's not getting a lot of touches. He hasn't been productive when he's been running. Plus, they're playing the number one run defense in the NFL, and I figured they're going to be playing from behind a good chunk of the night, so Hurts might throw the ball a lot. So I benched Sanders. Now, at halftime, it was a brilliant move. He had one carry for 1 yard. And then they gave him the ball in the second half, and he ends up with 56 yards and whatever. So I ended up benching him, and I'm playing Mark Ingram Sunday. I mean, it's... So, no, that didn't work
desperate
out.
Desperate times at the human fund,
yeah,
huh?
Well, I mean, so that didn't necessarily work out. Sanders got a few more points than I thought. But Evans got like 3 points last night for me. That's not good.
Yeah. Meanwhile, Jalen Hurts, rough night passing the ball.
Yeah.
He passed for 115.
Ooh, that's a little bit of a drop from his 387 against the Chiefs the week before.
Yeah, yeah.
But against a banged-up secondary, too. I didn't see much of the game. I was watching
He can move. Like, that's one of the things that a lot of these young quarterbacks, if you are not great passing the ball, but you can move, you can buy yourself time until you become a better passer.
Right.
And figure out the offense or get comfortable or whatever it might be. Yeah, 26 attempts for 115.
Yuck. Yeah.
But he ran for 44 and ran for 2 touchdowns.
Right. But you would have thought. You know, and they were banged up going in on, I guess, what, Sherman left last night, right, with the hamstring there.
Yeah.
They are going through cornerbacks like we change socks. I mean, they have been so hard hit by injuries in the secondary. You would have thought if Philly did anything on offense, they wouldn't be able to run the ball, but they might have some success throwing it, apparently, as you tell me. They did not have that last night. And Tampa still looks – and Brady's still really good, right? Almost 300 yards last night, a couple more touchdowns. 803-0550 to join us this morning. It is, a couple things. Football Friday. And we're talking Bills Titans all morning long, getting ready, of course, for Monday's game. But the Sabres with a nice win last night in the opener. And who or what impressed you? Getting a lot of good tweets. Get some calls, hopefully, too. 803-0550. By the way, Football Friday on WGR is brought to you by Buffalo-style chicken logs from Original Pizza Logs, official finger food of the Buffalo Bills, and by Corona Hard Seltzer, an official seltzer of the Buffalo Bills.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
It's time for MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run, the official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Host a local event and give kids in your community a chance to compete in the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 MLB World Series. Sign up for free at pitchhitrun.com.
Trying to get it out in front of the net again. Canadiens kept it in. There's a shot. That gets blocked in front of the net and blocked again. And then finally kick free. And the Lumber is whacking in behind the play between Josh Anderson. Well, they let him go. As Lumber comes down the ice and scores anyway. There's too many things going on. It's like a circus. A three red ring circus.
That was one of the first moments of the game from last night. Hey, thank you, referees, for not stopping the play because of what was going on behind the play as the Sabres go up ice and score. The moments of the game brought to you by Firth Jewelers. For all the moments in your life, go forth to Firth. It is also Football Friday, in addition to talking about the Sabres. 803-0550 to join us, 888-550-2550.
You know, one of the big stories of that game last night before the Sabres won it 5-1 was the attendance, of course, right? A lot of pictures, empty seats, attendance was under 9,000. There are no Canadian fans in there, though. That's worth mentioning, right? Like the numbers on that would be affected by the Canadians. It's also opening night. I think that the Sabres are probably ready to see that. They probably know the numbers, right, of how many tickets they have that are sold and that are available. So I would guess there are probably – worst days coming, you know? Tuesday night in December against the Kings.
Florida. I feel like, even though the Panthers are good, right? I just feel like Florida games have never been an attractive thing for Sabre fans.
Yeah.
But, yeah, I mean, I don't know. Or the Ducks, maybe? Are the Ducks here in the winter? But you know what? Hey, if they play some entertaining hockey, we know they took a hit of what, about 10,000 in the season ticket base?
Yeah.
So, if you know, you hope your best case scenario is, well, your best case scenario is they start winning a bunch of hockey games and they become the surprise story of the league this season. Failing that, you know, play entertain. Look, we're getting a lot of positive response from last night. You know, tweets were getting, people were happy with what they saw. If you just provide some goal scoring and some entertainment, I'm not going to say you're going to get, you know, loaded down with walk-up sales, but maybe you'll start seeing some people come down to the arena and, you know, a few hundred here, a few hundred there, whatever. The Canadians, when they are allowed, what, sometime in November, I think, to cross the border, you know, that's part of your season ticket pace. That's part of your walk-up sale. So hopefully if this team looks entertaining enough, we might see a few more people in the stands. I wouldn't expect a huge increase in ticket sales.
No, and, you know, it's funny. Like, I think about I'm not trying to make a comparison this team to 05-06, but it really took off quickly, 05-06 and into 06-07 and into a waiting list. You got good, fun, interesting, and your season ticket base exploded and then held out for a long time. So, you know, if you're Kevin Adams, you've got a couple things that you're probably judging your success by. One is on the ice, and a great way for the Sabres to gauge whether or not their fans are – having a good time, believing in them. They're winning the trust back, right? That's something that Kevin Adams has talked about. We've got to win the trust back.
Right. Earn the trust of the fans.
We've got to earn their trust. And it's a big battle for them. There's no doubt about that. We'll look at the standings on the NHL standings page. one of his standings pages is season ticket base.
Mm-hmm.
You know, build that back up. Be good enough, sustain enough success that your diehard fans that have, you know, wanted to be there, that decided I just can't do this anymore, decide, oh, you know what, I can do it again. You know, and maybe some people that were not at the opener for the first time in however many years. For me, last night was probably the first opener I haven't been to. It might have been the first one in 15 years.
I got a few tweets from people like you yesterday when we were talking about opening night, about, you know, I'm getting the occasional tweet about I've always been at opening night and all this stuff.
Always.
And they're just staying away at this point.
Yeah. Always. That's my first draft pick in the Sabres season ticket draft with friends.
Mm-hmm.
I might have missed one or two, like with a conflict or something. But, yeah, it's about the nights. It's about, you know, my father-in-law went to the game, and my wife was talking to him about the scene down there and how it's not just the game. It's the bars that you go to beforehand are a little emptier, and everything was a little emptier, and it probably felt weird at the beginning. And then they score the goals, and it feels right. Like, yeah, that's what we come here for, you know, it's to be entertained. It's supposed to be an entertainment product. And they have standings, and they have playoffs and all that. But, you know, Kevin Adams, I wonder what his goal is, if he possibly has one. Like, okay, our season ticket number dipped to 6,500. By next year, we got to get that to 9. You know what I mean? Does he have an internal kind of bar he has set of we're going to play well enough, we're going to do enough, we're going to have the right message, Don Granato is going to help in this way, we're going to come across as the kind of organization that these fans want to support? Because, you know, the last 4 years, it has not been that kind of organization.
Yeah, I don't I was thinking 10, maybe that's too big a jump, you know, to add 3,500. But you'd love to get to that. That's just any single digit number in the thousands is still, oh my Lord, I feel like you've got to get to 10. But yeah, I think honestly, what is his goal this season? You could probably put it into numbers in terms of fannies in the seats. Or at just the way the product looks, the eyeball test from the fans' perspective, to, you know, you either have angry fans, you have skeptical fans, whatever. You have fans that aren't going to shell out money to buy your product, what you're selling. And I wonder if at very least it's, let me just get people feeling better about the product. Like to your point about earning the trust. Fans, when was the last time we talk about the Bills in so many different ways and how things have turned around under McBean, right? And, you know, fans trust their coach and they trust the GM and the front office to make right decisions. It's the best you felt about a Bills GM coach combination since Polian and Marv Levy. And I can't tell, I mean, Darcy and Lindy at some point, sure, but when was the last time the fans felt trust in the coach of the Sabres or trust in the GM of the Sabres? And I think for him, the bar would be set at, again, to get people feeling like, hey, you know what? I mean, we're in good hands here. They've got the right coach. I like the style of play. I like his philosophy. He's letting guys, play up tempo, make mistakes. You've got to start believing that the people who are running your organization actually know how to put together a winning product, and maybe that's what his bar
is. I'm not even sure you need that because this team, you know, the fan base was the stands were full for Bylsma and Murray.
Yeah.
The stands were full for Lindy and Darcy. The stands were full for Phil Housley. You know, it was just this last couple years that it got so bad. I don't necessarily have to have faith that you're going to win the cup and know what you're doing. Am I entertained? You know, like the talk shows can center around whether or not the coach knows what he's doing and if the power play is working and all that. But the general manager, his focus is, the way to get fannies in the seats is to be entertaining. I mean, for a long time, did people think the Sabres were capable of winning the Stanley Cup while Lindy Ruff was the coach and Darcy Regier was? Maybe, but there were plenty of people that didn't and probably still went to those games on a Friday and had a good time.
Well, look, the people went last night, assuming you're not a season ticket holder, the people went last night, probably, you know, you go home going, hey, that was fun. I'll go watch a game again. I mean, I don't know when, right? But you walk out of the building going, it was a fun night. Maybe these guys aren't as bad as I thought. And I think, I mean, that's an incredibly low bar. But that's where you start. Sure, you've got to retain the season ticket holders. But you've also got to have people come into the building, watch the game, and feel, all right, I'm going to buy another game. Like, this team has done enough to make me say, okay, I'll spend a little more money to watch you play. that's where, I guess, and that's where it has to start, Jeremy, and then it would snowball into more walk-up sales, people renewing season tickets in the offseason, so forth and so on. So, yeah, look, I think everybody's reacting, as far as we can get in our feedback, everybody's reacting positively from the game last night, even on a night when, you know, you turn the game on TV, and as someone who's watched this franchise for a long time, it was sad to see all those empty seats. It looked like a preseason game. Well, and, you know, that's not fun. I mean, so that's why when it was loud and they're cheering and they're doing the chants and they're doing the wave and there's a standing ovation, I thought, okay, good. You want to make people feel good about the hockey team again. This is the lowest Sabre fans have felt probably in their lifetime about team going into the season.
Maybe.
So get me a step up from that. Make me feel like, put me in a happy spot again with the hockey team. It's been too long. It's like a 10-game win streak a few years ago is probably the only place.
I've got a texter about this. I bought my season tickets in the 04-05 lockout year. The Sabres were not even playing, but the tickets were cheap. That's why my group brought them. Problem is the difference between now and the next few years compared to then is the prices. I got an entire season ticket package for less than $500 back then. Unfortunately, that is not how it is now. Right. That's why you'll see very slow increase in the number of season tickets that are sold. I agree with that. Like, and that's why – you know, when I say it comes down to entertainment, they've got to find a way, like he says, to make the city proud. And wins do that. There's no doubt that wins do that. But, you know, 31 other teams are also trying to win the Stanley Cup. You can never really have any sort of guarantee you're going to win the Cup, but you can be competitive and you can be interesting and you can be attentive, I guess. I mean, if I'm speaking as a Sabres season ticket holder, former, I mean, I no longer am, the organization – for the entirety of Jason Botchell's tenure strikes me as not attentive. Yeah. It felt like no one was paying attention. It felt like as a Sabres fan, I was watching and management wasn't.
Yeah.
And it doesn't mean that's true, but that's a terrible way to feel as a fan. Like,
how do I phrase this, Jeremy?
I felt that they didn't watch their own product.
Yeah, or they didn't understand exactly why their fans felt the way they did. Like, there was that disconnect. They didn't get it.
Yes, right. Yeah. And, of course they did. And, of course, they work hard. And sometimes perception is reality. Like, we all kind of know that in any sort of business. So, like, if I'm here watching and I'm going to these games and I'm feeling like, does anybody pay attention to the goaltender that has an .885 save percentage, could maybe try and improve that position, you know, whatever it might be. That's just a random example. Just how come you're sticking with the coach? You know, Botro would say, because we're better than we were last year. And it would, you know, like, there was just this constant feeling of, why am I paying attention if you're not paying attention?
Yeah, it's a little bit like, you may not believe this, but we know what we're doing. And you're like, really? Are you sure you do? Because I don't know that you do, and yet they're telling you, yeah, don't worry about it. Trust us.
I mean, that's another thing. There was a comment like, we know a little more than the fans. And then like 2 months later, they fired that guy, Botchell. So they've got work to do, and I think empty seats, you're going to see a lot of them throughout the season, and it might be seasons of that because the repair, it's going to take a lot more. Again, full credit last night. It was a great game. I watched it. I had fun watching it. The crowd was awesome. You know, they'll get more walk-up sales as they continue to have success. The season ticket hurdle is a very big hurdle for them to jump.
Oh, yeah. I mean, what is it, 6,000 something? Are you kidding me? When was the last time it was that low? I have no idea. All right, yeah, we got to get a break. Okay, phone line's open, 803-0550 to join us. Sabres last night, who or what impressed you? Bills, Titans, Football Friday. We're talking about the matchup against Tennessee coming up Monday night. Grab a line and join us this morning here on WGR.
Go closer to game time. I think everybody kind of waits to see what happens week to week, and then they jump on it and want to come. So they do. We do typically sell out this game when the Bills are home. We sell out the packages that we have for this game.
That is Deborah Smith from the Nashville Visitors Bureau. She was on our sister station, WBEN, because they are selling ticket packages for Bills fans. and trying to get him to come to Nashville on Monday night. Well, I enjoy Nashville for the weekend, actually. It's a really cool city to go to. So they got a ticket, hotel, and vacation package they've been advertising. If you wanted to check it out, by the way, it's visitmusiccity.com/Tennessee Titans. But they are advertising that, and it'll be fun Sunday. I look forward to, you know, Sal mentioned the last time with, you know, full capacity, the Bills were in Nashville, that Bills fans took over the city the night before the game. In my head, I'm remembering the playoff game in Jacksonville, too, where the night before, all the Bills media members are tweeting out videos, clearly out there for show research at Jacksonville bars and nightclubs, not out to have a good time, of all the Bills fans and all the parties that were going on. And Nashville was the same way a couple years ago with the Bills media tweeting the pictures out. So I look forward to seeing all these pictures and videos Sunday, watching football, of Bills fans out celebrating in Nashville, wearing their Bills gear, the Bills Mafia, the Bills jerseys, and getting ready for the game on Monday. And it sounds like there will be a pretty good contingent of Bills fans. If you are thinking about going, we mentioned earlier, the weather's great for Monday. If you want to drive down, fly down, whatever, it's going to be sunny and 70 during the day. And then for game time, it's not going to rain, not really windy. It's going to be around like low 60s. So it's a good trip to take. And Nashville, I haven't been in Nashville in a long time. You've been there, right?
I was just going to ask if you have been to Nashville.
The only time I've been to Nashville was for the Music City Miracle game. So, and we went out the night before, but I mean, it was just go out to a restaurant, go to a bar, hang out. It's not like we saw the city or did tourism stuff. That's my only trip. My wife's been there a couple times. She loves Nashville. And I know Pete Weber's a good friend. So Pete, you know, I talk to Pete about Nashville all the time.
Next year's opponents, it might be very possible to go to every road game. Outside of the division, the Bills' road opponents next year: Cincinnati, Baltimore, Chicago, Detroit, and the AFC West team.
Ooh, like, yeah. Well, you can't drive to the West, but hey.
Right. And by the way, the West team, we've always thought, oh, they'll probably be the Chiefs, right? Maybe not.
If they don't win the division, that's
maybe
right.
Maybe that's a trip to play the Chargers now. Yeah. If the Chargers come out with that division. So,
AFC West, that's good trips. Yeah, whoever they end up going to, right? I mean, L.A., Denver, KC, Vegas.
I think going to SoFi would be pretty cool. Vegas. You might want to root for Vegas to win the division because we didn't get that Vegas trip we were supposed to have last year, right?
Yeah.
Every Bills fan planning on going to Vegas. The next time the AFC West comes up as like when the Bills will go there, I don't know when that'll be. So maybe let's get the Raiders the division and it'll be next year.
Yeah, that'd be nice. Because, Baltimore's drivable. Cincy, right?
Cincinnati's
6 hours.
Drivable.
Chicago a little bit more than that. Detroit's a piece of cake.
Boy, Detroit will be a takeover. That'll be another takeover.
Oh, my goodness, yeah. Right, unless, you know, they really turn things around quickly, right? There should be a lot of build. And it's indoors, so you don't have to worry about what the weather might be. Yeah, that's a nice travel schedule next year. And Chicago's a great city, by the way, if you want to go visit Chicago. Baltimore, the same thing. Go enjoy the harbor and all that stuff. That's attractive.
Thank you, Sal. It's not listed on their web. So home and road opponents, I'm at BuffaloBills.com.
Yeah.
They've not yet updated it. The 17th game.
Oh, that's right. They only have 16 games here.
Yes, right. Thank you, Sal. They'll have the NFC West opponent on there.
So the first place team of the NFC West.
So that's probably
here? No,
Cardinals?
that'd be on the road too,
It'll
right?
Because
they were just home
yes.
for the.
So maybe back to Arizona. If it is, it's the common finisher, right? Yeah. So that's looking like Arizona, maybe.
Defend the Hail Mary.
Yeah.
Oh, sorry. Yeah, Arizona's a good trip or whatever. It's not going to be Seattle. Maybe Los Angeles, maybe two trips to L.A. if they play the Chargers and the Rams, and you get to see SoFi Stadium. Actually, you'll get to see SoFi Stadium in February. Let me correct myself. You'll be at SoFi Stadium in February to watch the Bills in the Super Bowl, and then you can go there again next season a couple times. Paul is on the way. It is Football Friday, too, and we are taking your calls on Bills Titans at 803-0550, but we'll also delve in to the Sabres and their win over the Canadiens last night. 803-0550 for your questions, comments, and opinions. Football Friday on WGR brought to you by Buffalo Style Chicken Logs from Original Pizza Logs, official finger food of the Buffalo Bills, and also brought to you by Corona Hard Seltzer, official seltzer of the Buffalo Bills.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with autopay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without autopay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
It's time for MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run, the official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Host a local event and give kids in your community a chance to compete in the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 MLB World Series. Sign up for free at pitchhitrun.com.